This is the Engage Podcast, episode number 11, Duck Dynasty Doctrine.
Welcome to the Engage Podcast, where it's all about increasing your influence, impact, and income as a public speaker. And now, your host, he gave his first speech at age 12 and hasn't shut up since, Paul Evans.
What's up, legend? This past week, I was in Mexico, actually in Cozumel, which obviously is a tourist town, but people look at that and feel like, wow, why would anybody take a mission trip there? Well, actually, the first two streets and obviously the coastline has a lot of tourism, but after that, there's a lot of poverty. We actually have an orphanage there that an organization that I'm associated with has helped to build. We're working toward having a place for 100 orphans. We've got 43 there right now. It's a great organization. If you want to look it up, look up Ciudad de Angeles, and you can get more information about that. And I'll put a link underneath this podcast at engagepodcast.com. But when we were arrived on the island, we found out that the Duck Dynasty cruise was there. And Phil Robertson was going to actually speak to several churches in the area, and we decided that we wanted to go. And my son Steven said, I definitely want to go. We got out of our house that we were renting and got to a taxi. And in general, the taxi drivers know a little bit of English, and they most of the time they know the numbers at least. So we said we need to go to Avenue 20. Between streets 11 and 13, because there's really no street number there on the island. You don't go to a street address. You simply go to a block and you look for the thing or the place that you're looking for, all right? So we get in the taxi and I'm saying, Avenue 20th between 11 and 13, and she didn't understand. So I said a little bit slower. I don't know why we think that works. So I slowed it down, said a little bit slower. She didn't get it. I started looking up things on my phone to be able to communicate. And so I said Avenuda is what I said, even though it wasn't right. And I said Vente. And she said, yes, si, Vente. And so I looked up Once and I said 13 because I couldn't find that one right off the bat. And she said, si, she drives about 40 yards up the street and turns right, drives about 40 yards and stops. And we're there. And she dies laughing. I said, this is it. I just pointed down and she said, see. So I started getting my money out and she's laughing at me and saying, no. And I paid her anyway, obviously. But the point is that if you don't know where you're going, you don't know how close or far away you are. Well, we were right there. So we got out, saw some friends that we knew. We knew we were in the right place. Went inside and Duck Dynasty was there. Several of the people from the crew of the actual television show, and Phil Robertson was there, and Miss Kay was there, and we met them. And he got up to speak, and here are 5 points from what he shared, or the way he shared it. I'm not going to share what he shared. This is not a doctrinal program because he was actually preaching, but he did several things that I think any of us can utilize. Number one is pave the way. He had one of his team members get up and do the introduction, and it was not a scripted background type of introduction that made you hear about all these accolades. It was more of a reality introduction. This is where he's from. This is how he became successful, that he could have gone on to an NFL career. Terry Bradshaw was actually his backup quarterback when he was when Phil Robertson was a quarterback in college. And he could have gone to the NFL, but he said it was going to mess up his fishing time and duck hunting time. All right, so he had this at core in him from the very beginning. But someone paved the way, and it was done in a way that made you interested in the person who was coming to speak. And most introductions don't do that. Most introductions are about background, about education, about accolades. So if you can get an introduction made about you that will pave the way and draw interest, that's what it's really for. I remember a few years ago that I was introduced at an event where the guy said, before Paul comes and has a conversation with us, I want to tell you a little bit about him. Well, I thought that opening statement was very good. before he comes and has a conversation with us, because he knows my style. He knows that I'm not going to get up and do this rote commentary that I've done 2,000 times before, that it's going to be conversational. So that paved the way. So that's number one. Number two, an assumed knowledge open. Assumed knowledge open. So when Phil gets up, he's talking to a group of Christian believers, and he says, one, one. So we knew that that meant Genesis 1:1. We know the knowledge. We've got the place. We've got the connection. We've got the background. We've got the heritage. So in public speaking, sometimes we talk about that being the jargon that is known, or we've got this inside language or this inside vocabulary. Well, it does make a difference when you start out with some assumed knowledge, things that will make the crowd feel like they are included. And you can't always do that, but when you can, it's extremely powerful because you've come into a group and you've said, not only am I one of you, and we're together in this, there's a whole world out there that is not in on this. You attend a Tony Robbins event, someone who is walking on those hot coals, at least I'm guessing they're hot, I don't know. They are an exclusive group, they're an insider's group. Or when he talks about changing your state, people who are brand new don't really understand that. They don't get that language. But when he states it and says that, then the crowd goes, I get it. And newcomers want to be included in it. But it automatically creates this sense of connection. So number two is assume knowledge open. Number three, straightforward delivery. I guarantee you that Phil is not a hyperactive, demonstrative speaker. He really wasn't even funny. He said a couple of things that were funny, but he was engaging because he was so straightforward. There was no code language. He wasn't trying to be cute. He wasn't trying to be clever. And sometimes that's a really great direction to go. Again, you've got to look at the audience. You've got to look at what you're there for, etc. But he was simply doing what he does, which brings me to number four, which is his personality or his own personal style. That made a big, big, big difference. He was true to nature. True to nature. So what that did was allowed him to be who he was without feeling like he had to change things. When he came out, they handed him a microphone. Well, guess what? He didn't want to hold a microphone. He probably would have been okay with a lapel mic. He would have been okay with a mic that was on a stand, but they didn't have a stand. And because it didn't match him and who he was, he just handed it off. The interesting thing is the person who was interpreting into Spanish handed his mic off too, which I loved. I thought that was a great move by the interpreter, that he matched the presenter. So I loved that. But that being said, Phil went with his own true nature. And often we will try to conform to the event instead of having the event conform to us when needed. A few weeks ago when I was doing a keynote, it was not a huge crowd. There was only about 250 people there, and it was a good, decent-sized room. Everybody was not crowded up. There was a link to the room. Well, the mic wasn't working well, so the speaker before me didn't use the mic. I wasn't going to use the mic either because I know I can project. I know I could get the volume out there. And if I had tried to use a faulty mic, it would have been too distracting. And it would have been against my nature of ease and flow. So go with your true nature. And then number five, interpretation pace. If you've ever worked with an interpreter, it's not easy. You've got to understand that you can do maybe a sentence and a half at a time. And Phil was aware of that. There were a couple of times when he got ahead and said too much, and the interpreter had to have a repeat on that. But for the most part, the pace was really good. And you've got to be conscious of pacing. Actually, working with an interpreter will help you pace your overall messages, period. So if you've got a friend that knows another language, it would be great for you to do some of your practicing with that person as an interpreter, because it helps you feel the message differently. It helps you with your flow. It helps you with your cadence. It helps you with your rhythm, so that all of your speech or presentation ends up being stronger, because you're speaking more in sound bites than you are in rambling, going all over the world, etc. It makes you a lot more tight. And so if you do work with an interpreter, if you can work with them ahead of time, it works out really well. If not, then make sure that you're keeping that cadence, that rhythm, you're keeping things brief, you're keeping things tight. All right, so there you go, the Duck Dynasty Doctrine. Pave the way, use assumed knowledge, straightforward delivery, true and stay true to your nature, and pace with interpretation. Hey, as always, speak with passion. Just leave me a note. Be blessed.
You've been listening to the Engage Podcast. Head on over to EngagePodcast.com and get your free public speaker training that will help you avoid becoming a human tranquilizer. EngagePodcast.com. Speak with passion, or just leave me a note.